Okay, I'm so excited to be here. We're just going to get into it. I was going to read just straight through all the verses, but because there's so many, I'm going to just go ahead and get into my notes, and we're going to hit the verses, and I'm going to share what the Lord gave me. This is the third version of what the Lord gave me. It has been a week that ravaged me in waves. And I don't know about you guys, but I know I'm not alone. Have you been ravaged this week with waves? Are you getting ready to dive through one that you see ahead of you? Are you right now being overwhelmed by the water? We are all in one place or another when it comes to those waves. And I hope that my being in the midst of this will encourage each one of you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and magnify the word. See that? I did it, thanks. Yay, God. Okay, so this morning, I've had many waves and we'll get to those, but this morning I got a phone call and my brother right now is in surgery for his heart. He was supposed to have it done last week. He had a massive heart attack. He's 47. And we're going to do a quadruple bypass. And now they've decided, because he's having a heart attack all night and this morning, he's been having attacks, they decided to go ahead and do a triple bypass and replace the left valve if they can. If they can. So I'm all ready. I had my quiet time. I've been up all night because the sisters, I'm the oldest of nine. Everybody's been texting me and talking to me and texting and asking and texting. And I was like, okay, Lord, I need help. So I'm sitting in my vanity getting ready, 7 o'clock, and I just, Mary Barrett. And I don't know if any of you know Mary Barrett or not. She was an amazing worship leader. Kay Smith, one time at a pastor's wives conference on the East Coast that I was there at, said, I want her, because she was doing the worship. She goes, I really want her to come to California. I want her. So I love Mary Barrett. She passed with cancer years ago, but one of my most favorite songs of hers was Quiet My Mind, and the Lord brought it back. I will not make you go through the painfulness of hearing me sing it, but I want to just give you some of the lyrics to it. I played it for Shalyn, and we were crying in the nursery together. Quiet my mind, Lord. Make me still before you. Calm my restless heart, Lord. Make me more like you. Raise up my hands that are hanging down. Strengthen my feeble knees. May your love and grace abound and fill me with your peace. So as I was singing that, at 7:15, my phone rings and it's my sisters telling me they rushed Bobby right down. Last night when I went to bed, I tried to go to bed, they said that they canceled the surgery. Then they said that they were going to do it. Then they canceled again. So then this morning it was still canceled. And then when they called me, it's on. So, pursuing God's study. Our lesson for today, lesson two, is pursuing and practicing God's word. We can pursue God. We can look at him. We can long to know him. But if we don't put it into practice what he shows us, we're not going to be complete in him. That's how we grow. That's how we're transformed and changed. As we learned in the introduction from Mindy, there are 150 Psalms, of which 50 have no named authors. David wrote 73 of the Psalms that are named. We also learned from Mindy's intro in Psalm 1. And you know, if you weren't here for either of the first two, you know, the intro and lesson 1, you can go online and listen to those messages and fill in the information in your study book, okay? And get that so you have a really good foundation in this study. This is a contrast, Psalm 1, between the godly and the ungodly. The righteous, those who have separated from God, have been separated to God, have been brought into right relationship. through the person of Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross. Mindy also reminded us not to think of the ungodly as evil, but they are separated by their sin just as we were. You know, sometimes we go, ooh, I can't do that person. They're like really out there. No, Jesus went out there for me and for you. And all through his word, he reached the unlovable, the untouchable. That was what he did, and that's what we should be doing. For there is always hope for all separated from God. I don't know where my brother is in the Lord. He wouldn't talk to me this week because he was too emotional. And when he got emotional, it made his heart act up. So I didn't get to just really reinforce where he was. But there's always hope. His daughter called me and said she was going to call and ask her daddy. Daddy, where are you? Because she's a believer. I haven't heard back from her. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, and never forget, each one of us were a whoever. We were. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In lesson 2, Cindy shared Psalm 32, a psalm of instruction, a wisdom psalm. As God's child, we are kept in his state. This is how it goes. But we have a problem with this area, the relational area. So we're settled in him. This state is right. We are under his righteousness. But this way we blow it. Do we ever blow it relationally with people? Like maybe in our own family, maybe here with one another, maybe in the grocery store, in the car, whatever. But see, that can be fixed. We can work on that by confessing. 1 John 1:9. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we start over in this walk because our state is secure. We stand firm in Christ, clothed in his righteousness. There is no righteousness in me apart from Jesus Christ. Not one little speck. None. Sooner we get that, the better you'll be. Now we get to this lesson in Psalm 119. The author of the psalm is not listed for this one, but most commentators believe it is David, and it was written over a long period of time. If God thought it was important for us to know his name, who wrote this, he would have had it written. It's an acrostic psalm where each group of 8 verses begins with the same Hebrew letter. And my Bible shows them. I don't know if yours does. It should say at the top there, like verse 89. It would have it there. The psalm is dedicated to God's word. Each verse exalts scripture. And we need to exalt the word also. Psalm 138:2, for you have magnified your word above your name. If God's word is magnified above his name, how important it is for us to magnify and glorify his name. And as we elevate God's word in our lives, do we put it in a higher place than anything else? It should be. More important than any book we're reading, more important than any TV show, more important than anything. God's word. We are changed and conformed into his image, and we make his name great, as Pastor Dave loves to say, by obeying him and his word and walking out our faith for everyone to see. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. This was when I first got saved. When I read this, I was like, oh, you mean he always was? We always think there has to be a beginning and an end. Well, with God, there's no beginning, no end. It's always, always, always. And that gave me comfort. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is our living Word. On the first page of this lesson in our study, we are encouraged to purpose in our hearts and lives to appreciate, apprehend, and apply God's truth to every part of our lives. Appreciate, to think well of. To rise in placement of value. What value do we place on the Word of God and our time getting to know it? Because as we get to know his Word, we know him. to apprehend, to become aware, to understand, and then to apply, to give careful and continuous attention or effort. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge, Proverbs 23:12. Our study book divides each section of verses with a title. So let us begin with verse 89 through 96. God's word faithfully endures. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Our study verses for this lesson begin with forever in verse 89, and it ends with forever in verse 112. Verse 90, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. Verse 91, they, his word and the earth, continue this day according to his ordinances. For all are your servants, even the earth, even the stars, everything is under the authority of Jesus Christ. Everything. So this slide, God's word is unfailing. Unfailing means not failing, or liable or likely to fail. It's constant, unflagging. Now I had to look this one up. Hold on, let me find where I am. Which means not tiring or losing strength or power. His word never loses its power. The power to transform lives that are lost, that are hopeless. His word is all-powerful, all-knowing. Unfailing also means continuing forever. Why is God's word unfailing? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17, this applies to all of us, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you feel totally complete right now? Is anyone there yet? This little girl's not. I'm not. But if we're in his word, this is what it's for. He's going to correct us. He's going to change us and shape us into his image. Verse 92 of 119, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I thank God that he had mercy on this woman who was a drunk, who hated God, who didn't want to hear about God, because after being in the bar all night, God got me to go to church the next day because of my husband. He said, let's go check out the church our daughter's going to. I thought he was nuts, but we went. And the minute the pastor started talking, he said, if you're ashamed of anything, and he had a blackboard and he wrote different things. He said, if I could write down what you're ashamed of and tell you that today God will erase that and choose never to remember that ever, never bring it up to you again. I wanted to jump out of the chair. I wanted that so badly, so badly. And I had the opportunity, and I said yes to Jesus that day. And I'm telling you, I went home, and I only brought this because that you see that picture of that Bible? My Bible's worse, but I love this Bible. People keep buying me new ones because they think I need it, but I don't. I love this word, but it's duct taped. It's pitiful, but it is mine. It has my tears, it has my words, has my prayers, has my answers, and I love it. The pages, I know where, I could turn the pages without looking and know where the verses are. So and if you're one of the people that gave me a Bible, thank you, but I do use them, but I can't let it go. I can't. God made me so hungry that I would lay on the bed starting the next day after I received Jesus. We went to the Christian bookstore and bought Bibles. This is when I bought it. The lady there, they were 80s, in their 80s, husband and wife, and she said, I'm putting names on both of yours because this is your Bible. It's yours. And she wanted me to know that this was mine. This word was for me. And that's what I hope that you do, that your Bible will become such a part of you that you will feel empty and naked without it. On page 5 of this lesson, we are told that in verse 93 that God's precepts preserve, protect, and provide for the believer. I stopped my lesson studies there for the first time last Saturday because we were meeting our oldest daughter and two of our grandchildren for my birthday at breakfast, and I have in here show mug. Well, after I got my phone call, I forgot to get the mug in my bag, but she knew that this was one of the favorite verses of mine, and it is Isaiah 40. Hold on. I'm just like, I have little notes, but I can't see because I'm like, here it is. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So she gave me that mug, and it was great. We had a great breakfast. It was wonderful, and I'm so excited and so happy. So then I came home and started working again on my study where I left off. Then the writer on page 5 of your study asked if we ever question God's faithfulness in our trials. Well, I had found out that week that my brother who had cancer was going in for a PET scan and would get the results today, and that my youngest brother had a massive heart attack and had to have a quadruple bypass. I was hard pressed on every side for sure. So as the writer instructed, I read that portion of scripture in Isaiah. And where it says, renew their strength, means they will exchange their strength for his. Think about this. I see a wealthy friend, and she sees I have a tattered coat. And she asks me to exchange her warm, beautiful coat for my worn, torn, and tattered coat. I am now clothed. I'm covered. Well, God is saying when we choose to wait on him, anybody else hate waiting? But he wants us to make that choice. To wait on him, he renews our strength. We give him our weak, feeble, weary, non-strength in exchange for all the strength we need for this moment. I'm standing here. Not because I'm a supernatural, spiritual Christian. I'm standing here because I'm clothed in his strength. In his strength. And you can too. He will help you every single moment. Cry out to him. He will help you. Do you see how faithful the Lord is? I took a picture of the note I wrote beside the portion of our study, and I sent it to my daughter who lives in Idaho. So since Saturday, I've been operating on his strength, and I needed to because on Sunday, my husband wakes me up in the middle of the night and says he needs to go to the ER. He's having a diverticulitis attack. So I'm like, okay, all right, okay, you can strengthen me, Lord. Verse 93 of Psalm 119. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I have to stop here. Do you remember the day you received the Lord as your Savior? Was it because for the first time in your life you heard the gospel? Or maybe you heard it before and you read it, but it was like algebra. You didn't get it. You didn't get it the first time, but maybe you heard it again and something clicked, and you knew that God was talking to you personally. And you said, yes, I need you, Lord. That is the power of God's word. It removes the blinders, and we can truly see truth. Psalm 94 says, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. Cry out to him. He's your helper. Psalm 95, the wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies, witness of God's word, of what he has done for you before. If you don't journal, journal. Write down in your margin, if you don't mind. Seriously, come on. Put in there this. God did this this day. And you can look back on those stones of remembrance in your life, and you'll be changed. You'll have strength. You'll go, Lord, if you did that, then you can do this now, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? And it's not that we have to remind God who he is. He does. It reminds us when we say it out loud, as Corrie Ten Boom used to say. Verse 96, I have seen the consummation of all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. It is so broad. His word is so broad. There's nothing there that's not there that will not minister to you. Nothing. The next section is God's word fully satisfies, verses 97 through 104. 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Meditate. Mindy shared this too, and I first learned this when I got saved. It means to chew the cud. Well, when I was first saved, somebody told me why that's important, because cows don't just have one stomach, okay? They have four. And so I got up this morning, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to share. We'll need something light after the heavy. Let me give you just a little light. So stomach one is the largest part and holds up to 50 gallons of partially digested food. Are you excited to go eat your snacks? And anybody knows I have to have a little brevity, okay? The second one. This part of the stomach is called the hardware stomach. This is because if the cow eats something it should not have, like a piece of fencing. Okay. It lodges in there. However, the contractions of the, whatever that part is called, I'm not going to say it because it's too much, can force the object into the peritoneal cavity where it initiates inflammation, and then nails and screws can even perforate the heart. The grass that has been eaten is also softened further in this stomach section and is formed into small wads of cud. Each cud returns to the cow's mouth and is chewed 40 to 60 times and then swallowed properly. Okay, so if we're to look at this and meditate to chew like cud, we need to keep bringing God's word back. Don't just read it once, ignore it, walk away. And I tell the young moms, you got a Bible, sit it on the counter. Leave it open. You always have time to walk over to the counter, read it again, walk away. Chew on it. Go back, read it again. Chew on it. Now the third part of the stomach is a filter. It filters through all the food the cow eats. The cud is also pressed and broken down further. Now a filter, we do not want to filter what we read in the Word of God by what the world says. The Word of God should be our filter for what we listen to, what we watch, what we say, and what we do. That is our filter. Thank you, Jesus. He just put that in my head. So number four is the part of the stomach which is like the human stomach and is connected to the intestines. Here, the food is finally digested by the cows. Stomach juices and essential nutrients that the cow needs are passed through the bloodstream. The rest is passed through the intestines and produces cow patties. Come on, you're supposed to laugh. Okay. Okay, his word gives us life. But as we're taking that word in and getting filled, we can then pass it on to other people. Filtered first. Make sure that we're not adding things to that's not from the Lord. Making sure we're not twisting it to kind of look like the world. Verses 95, the wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation. Oh, sorry, I did that one. Let me get down here. Sorry. Do you have a set time, plan, or purpose to read God's word? We have purpose to grow in our knowledge of the Lord by pursuing God through this study, and I applaud you for that. We need to know God in these days. We need to know him desperately. We have an adversary that would love to keep us from the word of God. Do you ever have a struggle coming here for study? Yeah. Yes. The enemy doesn't want you to hear truth. He wants you to believe the lie. I have more understanding than all my teachers, verse 99, for your testimonies are my meditation. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. Now the writer of this psalm is not just bragging, he's bragging on God. Here is the why. Because God himself taught me in verse 103. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is God's word and reading it a burden to you? Or is it so sweet that you want to just keep reading? Some days you have to force yourself to stop because you want to just keep going. It should be sweet to your mouth. You want more. 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You don't have to study the false ways. You study God's word and he'll show you what's false. Okay, let me get over here. Hold on. Good thing I put little notes in there. Okay, there we go. Is it not coming up or did it? There we go. Yay. 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Light illuminates the darkness. But did you know this lamp? And I heard the teacher and I tried to find a picture of it, a good one, but it was small and I have one. But it's packed away, and I was going to bring it because you put oil in it. And then it would sit on the top of their foot. They would strap it, or they would carry it in the palm of their hand. And so you could only see one step at a time. Can you imagine just one step? Imagine a path in the woods. Or, you know, well, in Israel they wouldn't have done that, but a path on a rocky, only one step. So you didn't know where your next step was going to step up to the next step. Got it? That would be so hard. Light illuminates darkness, but you know the lamp? So you can only see one step. Do you need more details? A much broader light? A further reaching light? Maybe an LED strobe light? That's what I want. But God gives us just what we need at the right time. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments, 106. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Verse 108, accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. Now this encourages us to praise God in the midst of the waves, in the midst of the storm. Burst out in song to him. That's what I did this morning with the Mary Barrett song. I'm reminded of a song and I just sing. What's a song that God brings to your heart? Sing out loud. Walk through your house. Let your children hear you sing. My life is continually in my hand, and that means in danger. Yet I do not forget your law. Verses 110, I'm going to go all the way down through 12. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. We mess up for sure, but we keep short accounts by asking forgiveness sooner. The longer you're with the Lord, the quicker you should repent. The quicker you should repent. The minute something comes out of your mouth that is not glorifying to God, ask God to clean you. And he does. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. What does your heart take joy in? Do we joy in the Lord who is our strength? Verse 111, your testimonies I have taken, 112, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes, and here's the forever, the beginning and the closing, opening, shutting, to the very end, inclined to lean toward an opinion or course of conduct, to bow down, to be humble. From Genesis through Revelation, God draws us through this wonderful sacrificial love, God's letter written for us so that we could know him, receive him, and live for him. Let us together encourage one another to esteem his word and allow him to transform us from vessels of dishonor to vessels of honor for his glory. And then we can say, as in Psalm 119, 112, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end.